Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for us this evening comes from the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Dear friends in Christ, a mother once overheard her young son praying the Lord's Prayer with great intensity and had to suppress a giggle when she heard him pray with great sincerity, "Give us this day our jelly bread." Doesn't sound too bad, does it? Come to think of it, something cold to wash it down would be pretty nice too. You know, jelly bread, that's just an appetizer, really. How about some meat and potatoes to go with it? Better yet, a banquet. After all, we deserve it. Lord, we're grateful for the bread, but how about some cake while you're at it? Human nature sure is something. That's why when it comes to the things that we need, Jesus teaches us to pray in a fairly specific way. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, with these words, Jesus invites us to pray for the stuff that is so central to our lives. And we take daily bread to mean everything we need to sustain life: food, clothing, shelter, family, health, good weather, competent government, strong personal relationships, you name it. And to be able to directly request these things from God is an immense privilege. Yet we should proceed with caution. And you know why, don't you? It's all too easy for people to chase after the gifts and forget the giver. It's all too natural to take my jelly bread and eat it and enjoy it and act like I'm entitled to it, and then to start liking jelly bread so much that I start thinking of ways to stockpile jelly and bread so that I never have to run out. Sounds kind of silly when you put it that way. Or try this. A woman in her mid-40s once wrote the following statement. "I always thought that by the time my husband had his own business, we paid off the mortgage on the house and the kids were old enough to look after themselves, I'd be home free. I thought there'd be no more problems. It hasn't worked out that way. I worked hard, got most of the things that I wanted, but they didn't seem to mean what I thought they would. I have a nice house, but I've spent 15 years in it, bringing up two kids, and quite frankly, I'm tired of it. And there's days when my husband and I seem to spend half our time arguing about what went wrong. We feel as though we've wasted a lot of time, but I don't think either of us really knows what we want now, except it's something else besides what we have." You may know someone who feels the same way. When you enjoy the gifts of life without acknowledging the giver, there is something missing. Life becomes a treadmill where too much is never enough. You may know someone who feels the same way, and that someone may even be you. The Lord's Prayer offers an antidote to that hunger for more that permeates human nature. Give us this day our daily bread is that antidote, and it is practical theology at its finest. News about God that you can use, and it goes to work right away. So let's take a look at it. That petition begins with the words, "Give us." Pretty simple, right? Give us. We are to understand everything that we have as gifts given by a generous God. After all, this is God's world. He created it. He sustains it day by day. If we have anything good, it's because God has given it to us. In a real sense, Jesus is teaching us humility in this petition. And what I mean is that it takes genuine humility to pray, "Give us," because it takes us out of a position of earning and puts us into a position of receiving. And you may not like that too much, especially if you struggle with trying to justify yourself. I talked about this on Sunday. This can be kind of offensive to conventional human wisdom, because conventional human wisdom thrives on things like, "I made this. I did this. It was my hard work. I created this little kingdom for myself." But Jesus, telling us to pray, "Give us," challenges that thinking directly. When you think about it, though, this really is simply an extension of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus also takes you out of the position of earning and puts you in the position of receiving, because you and I could never earn good standing with God based on our performance. It just is not going to happen. He gives his fatherly love as a gift, and you can receive it by faith, the results of Jesus' work, but your work is not going to get it, and neither is mine. You cannot build a ladder to get up to God with your good behavior. And knowing that, Jesus built a ladder with his cross, and he climbed down that ladder to come and grab you and forgive you and make you his own. When you believe in the very core of your being that you are that loved by God, you gain a whole new perspective for understanding yourself and dealing with other people. And when you believe that God is behind every material blessing that you have, you actually gain a much healthier perspective, not only on stuff, but on work itself. More about that in a minute. But what I want to draw your attention to next are the phrases "this day" and "daily bread." I'm sure you've noticed already how specific that is, right? "Today" and "daily." This is not a prayer for a huge surplus. This is not a prayer for perpetual security and gigantic nest eggs. This is a prayer focused on need, not more than enough. Now, Jesus is not saying that material things are unimportant, but they are not the most important. This is exactly the point that he makes in chapter 12 of Luke when he says, "Consider the ravens, they don't sow or reap, they have not storehouse or barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you're more important than birds." Material things dominate the thoughts of most people, Jesus said. But your Father already knows your needs. He will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Or you may have learned that verse like this: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Daily bread, in correct perspective, right there in Jesus' words. And then there's that one little word I haven't really touched on, and that is "our," that little possessive pronoun, if I've got my grammar correct. "Give us this day our daily bread." And it's absolutely true. We do work hard to provide for our families and ourselves, both needs and wants. We use our talent and our skill to do the best job possible, and we should want to do the best job possible. But what Jesus invites you to accept is that the ability to work itself is a gift. Honest, gainful employment is a gift. After all, you can't hire yourself. It's not the way it works. Our daily bread is ours in the sense that God gives us opportunities not just to earn money, but to do something that blesses other people as you go. Again, if you push the gospel through your ideas about work, your work stops being a means to an end or just a way of getting paid. And it starts becoming something that you can get into just for the sake of the work. Or to say it differently, you can enjoy what you do because of the blessing that it brings to other people. Just a couple examples. I like having a car that runs. I like knowing that if my house is on fire, somebody's going to come and try to put that out. It's the blessing of vocation that Luther talked about so much. And that is a way that work blesses the world. I could go on and on about this subject, but I just wanted to say how fascinating it is that God lets us participate in gathering our daily bread. Much like in our first reading, when he sent manna to his people in the desert, and they went out there with their baskets and filled it up and took it back to their tent. God provides, man gathers. It's been there ever since the beginning. Jesus really challenges us by teaching us this prayer, doesn't he? He confronts some of our most deeply held assumptions about the way life in the real world works. But he doesn't just do it for the sake of being controversial. He does it to give you something better. Give us this day our daily bread teaches you and me to look for the blessings that are present in your life today. A writer by the name of Dr. F.W. Borum told about his stay in a quaint old village in a little cottage in England occupied by a minister's widow. And she had given him her bedroom to stay in. And in the morning, when he pulled up the blind, he saw that in the pane of glass there were etched words. And it said, "This is the day." Naturally, he was intrigued by this, so at breakfast, he decided to ask her about it, and she gave a great answer. She said that after her husband had died, she had gone through some very dark times, and she, in fact, had become afraid of what the next day was going to bring. And then one day, she was reading in her personal devotions a verse that she had read probably hundreds, if not thousands, of times. "This is the day the Lord has made." All of a sudden, it occurred to her, as if it was the first time, the "this day" in "this day" could be any day. And specifically, it could be today. And she asked herself the question, why should I be afraid of the days if the Lord makes them? So the widow scratched into the window, as best as she could, the words, "This is the day," so that every time she woke up and pulled up the shade, there it was. This is the day, realizing that the Lord had made it, she was no longer afraid. You can pray, "Give us this day our daily bread without fear." And in great confidence, because your Holy Father is responsible for both the bread and the day. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, your Son has taught us to pray for your provision. And in your great majesty and mercy, we know that you provide these things whether or not we remember to ask for them. What a great, gracious God you are. And yet you have taught us to pray that we would remember and set our hearts right that we would truly see that everything we have is a gift of your generosity. And yet you give us the great privilege of going out and gathering the gifts that you have so generously poured out. And not just to keep for ourselves, but to share with a world that is, frankly, in desperate need of it. Lord, allow us to pray without fear and to truly trust that your provision is perfect and always arrives with perfect timing. We thank you for the way that you care for us, Father. May we, in a small way, reflect that loving care to our families and friends and all those in need who our life can touch. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.